good tuna, but I think I paid too much.
I always wear my mask and wash my hands after going home.
I am the king of the ring.
Welcome to the Japan What Podcast, episode 218. And I am your host, Matthew P.M. Bigelow.com. Coming at you from the Aizumi Cho Studios in Shinjuku, Tokyo, Japan.
The armpit of Asia.
Covering Japan Society 5.0, AI market trends, the supply chain wars, rising population, declining population, migration, and more. We thank you for coming along the adventure that is today's show. Busy day as usual. We are going to do today a podcast specifically about big boy stuff in the realm of AI. And I say this because too much of AI trends that just really annoy me are people saying there's too many M dashes in what AI is writing and it's not natural. I'm like, well, how many views does this have? 7 million. I'm like, I don't care about this stuff. So we're focusing on the big boy, but I know there's girls involved too. We're sitting at the adult table, I guess, is what you can say with the topics for today. So let's get right into it. Japan Society 5.0 at the adult table, men and women included, but we're all wearing our big girl pants.
The fourth industrial revolution will enable us to create a new society. Artificial intelligence will transform the big data collected through the Internet of Things into new wisdom. Society 5.0, a technology-based, human-centered society. The fourth industrial revolution will raise our standard of living and solve various challenges we face. It will, for example, free us from the stress of driving, allowing us to safely visit anyone, anytime. We will have access to the latest medical advancements at a low cost, no matter where we are. AI and robots will enhance human ability and expand our infinite possibilities, helping us enjoy more fulfilling lives.
All right. Well, I don't change that jingle on purpose because even though it's from like 2017, 2018, and there's so many things that are new with AI, there's a plan for all of this AI, and that plan for Japan is inside of a Japan Society 5.0. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's working. That's what it's supposed to be doing. And we might say, oh, look at this whiz bang thing, or oh, look what's happening over there. What could that possibly be? It basically all factors into Japan Society 5.0 in one way or another. And this is a governmental plan. Society 1.0 is, you know, scribbling in the caves, and Society 5.0 is make sure that the Wi-Fi being broadcast or sent from the internet signals being sent out from the stratospheric wings make it to the folks inside of the caves. That's Society 5.0. It's ongoing. It's major and everything like that. So what I'd like to do right now is I was walking around central Tokyo the other day where I live, have lived here for several years now, lived in Japan almost 20, and coming up to 5, 6, 7 years in downtown Tokyo. But anyways, I was at Tokyo Midtown, just walking past, and I saw a self-driving car parked. And I went, wow, look, they have two LiDARs. Look at these sensors on the side. Oh, how interesting. I'll take a picture. As soon as I took a picture, the car drove away. Now, people were driving the cars because you're not allowed to have those cars driving on the streets without people piloting them. They're collecting data and stuff like that at the moment. I just thought that was unusual. Did they see me taking a picture? Most people don't even notice this stuff because they're not trained to, but I am trained to. I worked for 5 years in big tech, sitting face-to-face with corporate executives of very high order, talking about this stuff on a weekly basis for 5 years. You learn a lot about the world when you do that. Even though I was only technically teaching them English, they needed help with a whole bunch of stuff. I'll keep most of it secret. But let's just say it's eye-opening. So that's what I'm doing this for. Keep myself up to date with the trends. Otherwise, it's just like any other job. It goes away and you stop following it. But that's Japan Society 5.0 for today. Not today. I mean, that's why we're doing Japan Society 5.0 today. I want to begin this segment, now that I got my anecdote out of the way, with a quote. And this quote is from the X account, AI Breakfast. Now, AI Breakfast is where most people go to get their slice of wisdom in the morning. And this is what AI Breakfast has offered us today. The scariest version of AI isn't the one that goes rogue. It's the one that's locked down and perfectly obedient to a small group of people with unaccountable control. AI Breakfast. I've been thinking about that for a while, that type of thing. I like the decentralization of AI, and I think that's eventually where it's all going to go. But the idea that, for example, I've mentioned this scenario before, and it's dystopian, but what isn't? And it's the idea that some despot who really dislikes the LGBTQ plus community gets their hands on 10,000 weaponized drones with AI cameras in them, and they hire some engineers to go to gay dating websites and straight weight dating websites, and they get the train the algorithms to discern between gay faces and straight faces. And then it discerns it to an 80% probability, which is very low if you're going to go out killing people with AI robots. But the despot doesn't care really about either people. He just really dislikes the LGBTQ plus community. Well, if he's the only person with his hands able to control that technology, he just might unleash 10,000 weaponized drones to go hunt members of the LGBTQ plus community. Now, I'm against that. I should directly say, I don't cheerlead anything. And these days, if you're not cheerleading something, people look at you suspiciously like, hey, why aren't you cheering? It's because you're for the other thing just as much as I'm for this thing. Nope. That's a psyop, people. Take the psyop out of your wing-wang and throw it against the wall. So that's what AI Breakfast was saying. And I totally agree. That's the dystopian aspect. But right away, we can also flip that. And instead of philosophizing about what is artificial intelligence, which is also something that drives me crazy, very, very common in Western societies, somebody would be like, I have this AI thing that will basically take all of the data of people's eyes and create like a password and a hashtag on it. And we can use this for security applications in the cloud. And someone says, wait. What do you mean by AI? And then they start philosophizing. But the guy or the woman or the team with the big boy girl pants at the adult table, they're trying to get this technology out there or talk about the capabilities of it. Some sort of insane crap that can go on. And these people are just gatekeeping it. Nope. We got to talk about what it means. No. Refusal. Get those people out of here. If you're in a room with those people, leave. If you're rooming with the big boy table, people at the big boy table with the big girl pants, then you can talk about this stuff. We're just going to open up something, an integrated thing that's been going on we should talk about. So Lawson, this comes to us from the Mainichi, Japan's national daily since 1922, from June 24th, 2025. And we are recording this kind of beginning on the 27th of June and going through the weekend to publish on June 30th, I believe. So this is not a breaking news podcast, so we can look at some things, record some things, and compile it into like what's happening now, what's happening in the past, recent past, to look at the near future. Lawson opens next generation AI-powered convenience store in Tokyo. Now, there's a Lawson near my house, and they have these AI avatars that try to sell me things, and I just tell them to shut up in English, and they obey. Major Japanese convenience store Lawson Inc. opened a next-gen convenience store on June 23rd, utilizing AI and other new technologies to enhance customer convenience and address labor shortages. The newly opened Lawson's Takanawa Gateway City store in Tokyo's Minato Ward features AI-driven analysis of customer behavior with digital signage displaying personalized product recommendations. Robots have also been introduced to assist with tasks such as food preparation and stocking heavy beverages. Loss in transition to a joint ownership structure in September 2024, in which telecom giant KDDI Corp and Lawson's parent company Mitsubishi Corp each hold a 50% stake. I'll also say that Lawson, for the past 10 years or so, has been using AI in its analytics and its stock and logistics using Azure from Microsoft. So they've been long gaming this stuff for a while now. Leveraging KDDI's technology, the store supports both customer shopping and employee work facility efficiency. The key feature of the store is its 14 AI cameras installed throughout the shop. These cameras analyze customer behavior in front of product shelves and display suggestions for recommended items. For example, if a customer picks up a dessert, the AI recognizes the action and suggests purchasing coffee. If a customer lingers in front of a shelf, the system interprets it as indecision and displays information about top-selling or recommended products on screen. Comment. I hate this stuff. It's really weird. It's exactly the same as you go into a shop to look at, say, bags. You need a new backpack for a camping trip. And as soon as you go in, the salesperson comes up and says, hey, can I help you with anything? And you're just like, I don't even know what this is yet. Give me a few seconds. So this is like you can't just do it by yourself. You need somebody immediately holding your hand. I don't think this is very popular, to be honest with you. But anyways, it might push sales in the short term, but eventually people will just go, I'm tired of this thing looking at me and trying to push crap at me. I just rather not have that happen when I'm not dealing with a human. Thank you very much. Touchscreen digital signage has also been introduced. When a customer touches the screen for a product they are interested in, detailed information that is difficult to access in conventional convenience stores is displayed on a large screen above the shelf. Sounds good to me. See, that's me opting in. I want to know more about this. Boop, and it displays it. I don't have to look for it. I was in a bubble tea shop getting a bubble tea for my wife, and I was like, does this bubble tea have caffeine in it? They're like, why don't you scan the QR code and look for yourself? I was like, that sucks. I don't want that. You should know that. You're a person working at a tea store. You don't know if this tea is caffeinated or not. That's the problem with this technology. Young people are screwed. The store also uses all digital signage to announce freshly prepared items such as fried chicken. Karaage-kun. Lawson has set a goal of reducing employee workload in store operations by 30% by 2030. 2030, that's a UN goal. At this store, robots are used for some cooking tasks, such as frying, and for stocking shelves with heavy beverages. Furthermore, a system has been introduced that utilizes security camera footage and other data to analyze customer behavior and employee work status, allowing the AI to support operational improvements. KDDI plans to relocate its Horde headquarters to Takanawa Gateway City, that's the newest stop on the Yamanote line, in July, and will open a second-generation Lawson store, another one, inside the new headquarters. And it goes on from there. So anyways, just about 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, unmanned stores were the big thing, where you can use a facial recognition or a QR code to open the lock, go in, make your purchase, and leave. It was quite popular in China for a while until it was just a big box and people would park them in front of like a convenient location, but you're not aware of like the weather patterns. So this box suddenly is in the sun for like 15 hours and all the chocolate in the shop melts into like a pile of garbage. So having a mixture of technology and people inside of these stores to eventually make them probably 80 to 90% unmanned while having operations inside of them via AI and robots to maintain the store itself in the physical world is probably a step in that direction. I support it greatly. There's a lot of badness that goes on in the convenience stores in Japan now that used to not go on. I mean, like people touching a mop and then picking up something I give them that I'm about to eat and they don't wash their hands after they've been mopping and they touch the top and everything like that. And I'm like, can I have a napkin? And they look at me all offended. Yeah. Having a robot do it would just be better. All right, let's move on to the next stuff. So that's like the consumer markets, and it takes a lot to get it to that level. And we'll see where it goes from there. And once all the technology is installed, you can iterate on it and find out what works and what doesn't. And I hope those in-store signages go away. They suck. We're going to take a look now. We're going to change topics a little bit. So I'll just go, are these people high or not high?
High. Or not high.
we're going to shift into AI agents for a while now, and I've been focusing on AI agents because these are the things that are going to take the jobs. For a long time, I was saying that there's a lot of paranoia around AI, and Western AI focused on two sides of a crazy coin. One side of that coin being the AI is going to become our friends and take our jobs, then screw our wives, and then murder us. I always thought that was a little nutty. And then the other side is, what is AI? The philosophical interpretations of people just, it's idiosyncratic navel gazing. But the AI agents now we can say are taking the jobs. And this comes to us from America, and we're going to use this as a gateway into Japan via the postmillennial.com. I used to get in trouble by my liberal friends when they were my friends for posting links to the postmillennial. What are you doing? Like, well, I don't know. This looks kind of interesting. I live in Japan. You can't post that. All right, bye. Stop hiring humans. AI company Artisan launches Times Square billboard campaign. And there's a couple of images here. I'll be posting the images at MatthewPMBigelow.com. That's MatthewPMBigelow.com. Make a donation at PayPal.me/JapanWUT. Anyway, so these billboards say, stop hiring humans. AI employees are here. A San Francisco-based AI startup has launched a controversial advertising campaign in New York City, urging companies to replace human workers with AI. Artisan AI, which develops AI-powered virtual employees, such as sales reps, is behind the campaign. The company plastered provocative messages across Times Square and Midtown bus stops, including billboards that read, stop hiring humans, AI employees are here, and your next business development rep isn't human. According to a report by the New York Post, the campaign originally launched in California last year and expanded to New York last month. So it's going coast to coast in the U.S. right now. Artisan AI, yeah, coast to coast AA, co-founder and CEO Jasper Carmichael Jack told the outlet that the company spent under $50,000 on the ads across Manhattan, which were intended to go viral online. Artisan's earlier marketing used more generic slogans like be more productive and upskill with AI, but they failed to gain widespread attention. We believe in hiring humans, the CEO said, just hiring them for work that humans actually want to do. For now. So that's kind of what's going on in the America. America. Stop hiring humans. It's going on. And this next one is from a comment on X by the CEO of Replit. And this is a very prominent AI company. And this CEO is talking about how AI agents are already dramatically affecting how things are going at his work.
About,
so,
you know, two, three years ago, and maybe in 22, I talked about the 1000X engineer, yeah. You know, highly kind of leveraged by autonomous agents. Mm-hmm. When, you know, right now, people with Replit, Claude Code, and others, they're spinning up multiple agents to work on their project as they're, you know, working on their main tasks. And there's a lot of other explorations and tasks and prototyping happening everywhere. And so you're really not just one person, you're a team of engineers, right? And so, you know, we talked about engineering managers. I think every engineer is sort of a manager right now. And so, yeah, I mean, we're not at 1000X yet, but we're going up. I think pretty soon the difference between a great engineer that knows how to use the AI tools and an okay or good one, it's going to be 100X, I think, over the next 6 to 12 months. So the compensation structure, I assume, would start to change to match that.
All right, that's taken from a podcast originally and then put through Vitrupo, a content farming account on X. And just so you know, Replit's like a $1.2 billion evaluated company. The CEO is this big American AI thought leader. I did some research on him. Originally from Jordan, I think, graduated from a bunch of top tier universities in America and has been pursuing AI for a long time now and has really been focused on elaborating his business model on AI agents. And as you can see there, this unicorn company worth over $1 billion are the inside their own company. They are using the AI agents. And that says something because there's some people who will, I watch a lot of, I used to watch a lot of YouTube studio channels. What I mean by studio is like audio studio, how to use this audio gear. What's this audio gear? What's the difference between this microphone and that microphone? And a lot of them would use chill hop music or computer generated music for their channel songs instead of their own gear and stuff like that. It's like, well, why aren't you using your own gear? But the fact that this company, Riplet, is using their own AI agents to make the output of their efficiency go up dramatically says something about the validity of the fact that these AI agents are just opening the door and they are going to stream in. This is like a portal from another world opening up, and you just see hundreds of millions of tiny dots on the horizon just pouring out of this portal. And you're there with your pen and paper going, I like math. Or you're copying and pasting into an Excel spreadsheet going, I'm making money, better check my email. And you look up out the window and you're like, wait, what's that? It's far away. It's not going to affect me. And it just comes closer and closer and closer. And then it's in your computer doing your job. That's what's happening right now. Hundreds of millions of lives have been forever altered. 5 years ago, your life as a computer person was on a steady track. But now, I heard that certain graduates with computer science are finding it harder to get jobs than people with fine arts degrees. That's how much this is being affected. Young people are so screwed. But like I said, what would you rather have for a sales rep? A large language model that I could talk to and would answer me by displaying things on a screen or something like that? Because I went to the bubble tea shop and I was like, does this tea have caffeine in it? They're like, scan the QR code. This is in Japan. Scan the QR code and find out for yourself. Screw you. I worked at Subway when I was in, you know, my late teens, early 20s. And I had like the amount, I believe it is 10 milligrams of honey mustard sauce at Subway at the time had something like 0.2 grams of fat in it. So people that wanted low-fat sauces, I would recommend that one. Something like that. You can't even know if a tea is caffeinated or uncaffeinated and you work at a specialty tea shop? What the hell is that? Get in the AI. That's what they're saying. So this is on the path to AI. So we have the AI agents and the posters. We have the CEO of a major AI company talking about how their AI is so whiz-bang for their own company. Moving on to the next one. Salesforce, which is one of the major tech companies, especially in terms of what it does, forcing sales. The CEO, Mark Benioff, says AI is doing up to 50% of the work at Salesforce. 50%. This comes to us from CNBC, so let's read some American journalism, which I hate. Salesforce is accelerating the use of AI and automating workloads, according to its CEO. Quote, all of us have to get our head around this idea that AI could do things that before we were doing, and we can move on to do higher value work, he said in an interview with Bloomberg, noting that the technology currently accounts for 30 to 50% of the company's work. The aftershocks have already hit the tech industry, with the software giant cutting more than 1,000 positions earlier this year as it restructured around AI. Other tech companies have made similar moves, including cybersecurity giant CrowdStrike. Klarna CEO Sebastian Siemiatkowski said the company has shrunk its headcount by 40% due to in part to AI investment. While Amazon CEO Andy Jassy said the e-commerce giant will use AI to reduce roles. It's pretty good, he said, but it's not realistic to hit 100%. He added that other vendors are at much lower levels because they don't have as much data and metadata to build higher accuracy. Goes on from there. So what I'm trying to do here is instead of just saying, here's one thing and here's another thing, well, I'm connecting it on various levels. We have the ad campaigns, we have the CEOs of billion-dollar companies, and we have the CEOs of massive companies like Salesforce and everything talking about how AI agents are being chosen over humans. And they're saying, well, humans don't want to do this work. Well, it's similar to like all those giant corporations saying, Americans don't want to learn how to do their own gardening. That's why we have to have 50,000 illegal Mexicans living in our city. And you go, what? Who's going to make your tacos? You're like, wow, geez, this is getting racist. You're the racist. Ah! So it's just, we're doing it and you're going to like it. That's kind of what it is. You will eat the bugs. Let's move on to a Japanese one. So I got this from AI Smiley, and I had Grok rewrite it. I'm doing this because I want to be a disclaimer saying I didn't write this. I'm not reading it directly from the website, but Japanese websites translated into English are not always the best. And sometimes the structure of Japanese news reports will put a lot of historical data and something bad that happened a long time ago. And some person said this or did that. And then they go into a side story and then they get into the, what you were actually clicking on. And so that's not the way I like it. So I have Grok rewrite it to put the pertinent information regarding AI disruption at the top of the article for you and me. Cyber agent, but if you're interested in the actual links in the original source material, it's available always at MatthewPMBigelow.com. That's MatthewPMBigelow.com. I put everything I talk about on the website so that I hold myself accountable, more or less. And if you disagree, leave a comment. Tokyo, Japan, 2025, June 27th. CyberAgent, a leading Japanese technology company, has unveiled an ambitious plan to invest approximately 400 million yen annually to integrate AI development agents into its workflow, aiming to supercharge productivity across its engineering teams. The strategic move will support around 1,200 engineers and providing each with additional funds per month to cover the costs of adopting AI tools tailored for development tasks. Oh yeah, oftentimes something is free, it doesn't work well, but you have to pay for stuff like cloud or ChatGPT and stuff like that. So you don't want to pay out of pocket. So I guess the company is allowing the engineers to buy subscriptions and base those subscriptions, build AI agents to automate tasks that humans used to do. Whereas the millennials or the Gen Zers now just say, just scan the QR code. I'm doing my job, jeez. The initiative is part of CyberAgent's broader push to harness generative AI technologies, reinforcing its commitment to innovation and business growth. The company has been a pioneer in AI adoption, having established its AI lab in 2016 and becoming one of the first in Japan to deploy NVIDIA's DGX H100 system in 2023. This infrastructure upgrade enables CyberAgent to develop and publicly release proprietary Japanese large language models and visual language models. Since April 2023, CyberAgent has rolled out AI development tools like GitHub Copilot across its organization, followed by the adoption of tools such as Cursor, Client, Windsurf, and Devin in various departments. A lot of this stuff most people don't even have never even heard of, but they're all like billion-dollar companies or multi-hundred-million-dollar companies. Weird how once you do this with AI, when you include surveillance as part of it, millions and hundreds of millions of dollars just start pouring out of it. These tools have already driven measurable improvements in advertising performance and operational efficiency. Building on this success, the new investment will empower engineers to experiment with AI agents on an individual level, focusing on specialized tools like programming support AI, code review AI, and document generation AI. It goes on from there. Not going to include everything. Oh, but the CEO said, we are accelerating our efforts to leverage generative AI, aiming to further enhance development productivity and create new value. Oh, not the CEO, but a company spokesperson said. This bold investment underscores CyberAgent's vision to remain at the forefront of AI-driven innovation, positioning its engineering teams to develop cutting-edge solutions in an increasingly competitive tech landscape. So that was through Grok, and it's very general, but that's because the news in general is general. And I'm not sure if this company is giving out all of the secrets to how it's using its agents, but nonetheless, they've made plans to invest 400 million yen annually and give money to their engineers to develop in-house agents, which they can then sell to other companies for automating tasks. There's a giant fear, huh, that this next generation is not going to be up to snuff because they were just raised on smartphones for the most part. And those don't really teach you anything. With computers, you have to figure out how to do stuff and you have to connect things to other things. But the smartphone is kind of the exact opposite of that. You're just trained to engage with algorithms and get followers and then have the algorithm with your follower nudge you into certain behaviors that end up leading to just kind of very like a house cat behavior. They're all house cats. They've never actually gone to a river. They drink from the tap. So that's going to be the AI agent section for today, following it intensely, because these are things that are going to be affecting, if not you right now, then everything around you in the next 4 to 5 years, guaranteed. So are these people high or not high? Are they on ketamine?
High.
You're on ketamine, aren't you, AI man?
Or not high.
Stop with the ketamine. We're going to take a look next at some other big boy table stuff with our girl, big girl pants firmly strapped on. And I'm going to ask the question, are these people, is it feasible or is it unfeasible?
Is it
feasible
or is it
non-feasible? So this one, I can't remember where this next one comes from, but again, just go to the website, MatthewPMBigelow.com. This might be from AI Smiley as well. And I saw this and I was like, bam, that's exactly what I need. The big table, the adult room, the adults in the room talking about what the future actually is. Kansai Electric Power pioneers AI-driven digital power plants. Now, this is a big one. And power plants are the type of infrastructure where 5G, 6G AI applications could really work to deal with a labor shortage without having to import hundreds of thousands of foreigners from other countries that don't have very established power grids to come and operate yours. You can imagine that somebody from Chile might be in the countryside of Chile. They might know how to irrigate a farm. They might be a very good English teacher. But if you just brought in 10,000 Chilean people from the countryside and hopefully train them up to work in their adulthood in your power grid systems, the odds are things aren't going to run as smoothly as before. But if you can harvest the data of what your people are doing, automated with artificial intelligence, and implement it into your infrastructure's connected systems, then the precision in which you are used to would be replicated without having to retrain hundreds of thousands of humans to do so over the period of how many decades and how many years. Kansai Electric Power is revolutionizing its thermal generation through a strategic partnership with OpenAI. That's ChatGPT. That's Microsoft. Or not. They're splitting, apparently. This was announced on June 17th, 2025, to create digital power plants using generative AI, specifically ChatGPT Enterprise. This initiative, a core part of KEPCO's, that's Kansai Electric Power Co., part of KEPCO's digital transformation strategy, focuses on enhancing operational efficiency and maintenance quality in thermal power plants to address labor shortages and meet Japan's rising energy needs. Generative AI will optimize critical operations, including equipment inspections, maintenance workflows, and plant operations. By leveraging AI-driven analytics and digital twins, that's when you have all of the pipes and everything in your power plant fitted with sensors that calculate the temperature of things, the flow and rate of things, and how much is over here versus how much is over there. And it reproduces that into a cloud. That's the digital twin, where all of the things that can be measured in real time are compiled in a cloud-based and then reproduced. You can do really interesting things with that, by the way. Digital twins are no joke. But KEPCO aims to improve the quality and efficiency. The technology enables predictive maintenance, real-time monitoring, and streamlined processes, building on KEPCO's prior AI efforts, such as a 2020 self-driving inspection robot and the PI system for data-driven efficiency. To support this vision, KEPCO established an OpenAI Center of Excellence within its K4 digital subsidiary and formed a 40-member AI specialist department. Bam! That's a big one right there. They're not just getting a couple of engineers to put a cloak around ChatGPT and call it thermal power GPT or whatever. They're going to build something crazy, crazy good. These efforts ensure robust AI integration, positioning KEPCO as a leader in Japan's energy sector. It already is. The company's 160 billion yen investment into these technologies underscores its commitment to becoming an AI-first company. By transforming thermal power plants into intelligent, data-driven systems, KEPCO sets a new standard for sustainable energy infrastructure, enhancing operational resilience and efficiency. And that word there, sustainable energy infrastructure. A big part of this podcast with Society 5.0 is how are the SDGs going to be shoehorned into these applications? Because if you look at Japan Society 5.0 literature and photographs by the Japanese government, it's a Japanese government thing. They have top people from the Keidan Ren, the business association, posing in front of SDG posters and Society 5.0 posters. And so having Japan as an SDG cult, so they need to have SDG reasoning shoehorned into everything that they do. And if they didn't with this AI project, it probably wouldn't go forward. Huh. Anyway, so the power plant you're looking at is actually an AI first with its own digital twin. That's in the future too. It's not happening now. It's not in the future. It's happening now. So are these people, is this feasible or is this unfeasible to you?
Is it? Oh, is it?
I think it's feasible, totally feasible. It's going to happen. It's going to be awesome. Now, I was looking at some biotech and AI stuff. This is another major sector that's going to revolutionize much of what goes on in the future, where hospitals are just basically bureaucratic centers. And oftentimes you're more caught up in a bureaucracy than you are a health center, like someplace that makes you get better. But AI would be able to streamline much of that to the point where you can just go into a booth, give a blood sample, and it scans your biometrics and everything like that. And it would be able to do so many tests that you wouldn't need large parts of the hospital. You would just line up outside of a booth like people used to do with telephone booths. And that would be a large part of the hospital. And then based on your blood sample and the biometric readings that are analyzed in the booth, it would send you to a specialized clinic without having the need to have 50 people in a pipeline analyzing your paperwork to make sure that what everything is happening is done according to form. That's basically what a large part of this is. So, but to get there, we're way off from there. But I was interested in these things, and I have been for 10 years now. And I was looking at organ on a chip. And this is done more and more these days, where cells from a person or from a stem cell or some other way are grown on a chip. And then there's an AI application on this chip as well that can analyze what's going on with your tissues. It's called organ on a chip. Or there's also in the future organ networks on a chip. And then there's also this idea of a human on a chip. You can Google it. There's an AI description at the very first result, organ on a chip. So I got this paper, and it was a really long paper, way too long. And I got Grok to summarize it, and then we went back and forth, and this is the result. Organ on a chip, revolutionizing biomedical research with AI amid surveillance concerns. Organ on a chip technology, a breakthrough in biomedical research, uses tiny microfluidic devices about the size of a microscope slide to mimic human organs like the heart or lungs. These chips, housing 500,000 to 2 million human cells, often from biopsies or stem cells, in a rice grain-sized sample, simulate organ functions for drug testing and disease modeling and personalized medicine. I got that, the computer, to put in the description. It was like, it uses 2 million human cells. I'm like, how big is that? Oh, about the size of a grain of rice. So it sounds like, is that 2 million human cells like a postage stamp? Is it like a cube of beef? No, it's a grain of rice. So right now, they have the ability to grow rice grain sized human tissues on chips and using an AI application do stuff with it. But that's where we are now. Unlike animal testing, they offer ethical, accurate alternatives and are increasingly used in labs and biotech firms. When paired with AI, these chips become even more powerful. AI analyzes massive data sets, cell images, biochemical signals, to predict drug efficacy, model diseases like cancer, and optimize chip designs. It enables real-time monitoring and high-throughput screening, accelerating drug discovery. While not yet standard, the technology is advancing rapidly. However, integrating AI raises surveillance concerns. The vast data generated by organ-on-a-chip systems, especially patient-derived cells, and with a digital twin counterpart, because that's kind of what the AI does. The digital twin experts might say, it's not actually a digital twin. Well, I'm calling it a digital twin. It's a copy of your cell activity analyzed at the AI level through a chip being stored somewhere. Basically, they are digital twinning you on a cellular level with AI. Right now, it's only a grain of rice. But what were computers like 30 years ago? And what are computers like now? But we're worried that people are worried that these technologies could be misused if not securely handled. AI's ability to process sensitive biological data risks unauthorized access, potentially exposing personal health information for existence. For instance, data from personalized medicine studies could be exploited by insurers or employers if privacy protocols fail. That means your insurance company would know what's wrong with you before you do. And what would they do then? Give you free stuff? Is that what insurance companies do? Is that why they're so lovely? Also, there's the fear of AI-driven surveillance in research settings where data could be tracked or repurposed without consent. Ethical concerns include ensuring transparency in data use and preventing corporate or governmental overreach. Robust encryption, strict data governance, and clear consent frameworks are critical to address these risks, ensuring this promising technology advances human health without compromising privacy. Yeah, right. We want to just have everything about you on this chip, and we keep it over here, and then we recommend drugs to you based on it. For your own good, we want to help you. We want to help you be healthy. This is all for your health, we promise. It's not for replacing you in time. It's not for creating digital twin slaves in the real world. No! Right now it's not. But can you imagine in 20 or 30 years' time what it's going to look like? Right now it's just a grain of rice. Just a harmless grain of rice-sized heart on a chip with AI. For your good. It's for your good. I can understand why it's being used, to be honest. Like, all the lab animals that have to come and go to these hospitals, if you can just grow things on chips and get the studies done that way, it's probably a lot better, to be honest with you. And you can keep it and manufacture it. And I wonder what it's like to just constantly murder animals for research purposes. You know, what did you do today? I murdered 75 pigs. Why? Well, we're trying out this skin cream for toenails, and we need to make sure that they don't rot off. What did you do with the rest of the animal? I don't know. I just killed them. And now maybe some woman in the future can get cream for her feet again. It's all for science. We love you. So I was looking at a lot of this stuff occurs all around the world, and a Japanese company that I found that's in on this is called Ushio. And there, I'm on their website right now, ushio.co.jp, and it says organs on a chip. And they have their own little blurb for opening new possibilities for medicine, opening a prosperous future. For who? Organs on chip is receiving attention as a support tool that has the possibility to alter the course of drug development. Ushio is engaging in the development of OOC organ on chip products to meet our customers' every desire. With our light technology and integration, light means like from a light source, like the sun or a flashlight, that type of light. We provide, not like it's not heavy. With our light technology and integration, we provide your desired organs on chip and contribute to the development of new drugs. For example, they're showing this product here, and their product is called Nerve Plate. It makes neurotoxicity evaluation simpler and more accurate. quantitatively predicting nerve disorder risks using AI, which increases the efficiency of drug screening. The development of organs on chip involves design fabrications to address non-obvious issues. This is a difficult task for customers to do on their own. No crap. However, OOC development is essential for new drug development. In such a situation, the open invitation platform provided by Ushio might prove helpful. And they have a model case called Peripheral Nerve Disorder AI Evaluation Model. Enables high throughput of nerve cell evaluation, fabrication by light bonding technology. The resultant chip with no elution and low autofluorescence facilitates nerve cell experiments. It goes on from there. That's getting a bit out of my pay grade there, but we can see that it's not just something on the internet, but it's something that's global at this stage. And we have an organ on a chip, but one big thing with drug discovery is if you have something for your liver, well, how does that affect your heart, or how does that affect your gut, or how does that affect your balls? So we have balls on chip, AI balls. That's going to be a big one too in the future. AI prostate. They take a spoonful of your prostate, slam it on a chip. The AI goes in there and starts recommending drugs to you via your phone.
I always wear my mask and wash my hands after going home.
Isn't that insane? Just a couple of other ones. From organ on a chip to human on a chip, a review of research progress and latest applications. So I'm just saying that because I mentioned human on a chip earlier. It sounds insane, but it's part of a research that's ongoing right now. And overall, I can see the benefits of all this stuff, but I always worry about who gets a handle on it. Like, for example, if a Chinese firm purchases a Japanese hospital, do they get all of this information about the Japanese? And now the Chinese can make bioweapons or medicine based on the probabilistic needs of a populace's future. It's very insane stuff. It's very insane. It goes back to the old Facebook thing. You're just putting a picture of yourself on Facebook, and then Mark Zuckerberg is worth $64 billion, and you're basically turning yourself into a test subject for a digital surveillance playground for tech bros. I'm just uploading pictures, though. Are you? So that's that part. Let's take a look at we're going to do one more for today, I believe, and I've already prepared it, so we may as well go ahead with it. We're going to take a look at some AI camera stuff, and I think that's the last one for today. Yeah. None of the reason I'm looking at AI camera stuff is because it is something that's going to affect all of us, not in the future, now. Okay, it's not in the future, it's happening now. AI is revolutionizing security camera systems, enabling police and private companies like Ajita to detect suspicious behavior and enhance public safety. By analyzing footage in real time, AI contributes to identifying suspects in nearly 20% of Japan's serious crimes in 2023. With systems being refined for nationwide use to streamline investigations and prevent criminal activity before it occurs. Pre-crime! AI and security cameras works by analyzing video footage to recognize patterns, such as human skeletal structures, to detect anomalies like falls, violence, or suspicious movements. Well, unlike facial recognition, these systems prioritize behavior over personal identifiers, alleviating privacy concerns. Yeah. This is looking at the position of your arms and legs, or if you're lying on the ground or jumping or something like that. It's not looking at your face per se. It's looking at the metadata of your body. You know, if someone's lunging with a knife, it's pretty universal how that looks. Why not analyze it? For example, Ajita's system, implemented in over 100 commercial facilities and train stations since 2022, processes thousands of data points monthly using machine learning to improve accuracy. It flags incidents like falls only if a person remains still for about 5 seconds. That might be short long-term memory, AI, and ensuring precise detection without storing identifiable information. In a practical scenario, consider a busy train station where Ajita's AI, integrated with network cameras, monitors crowds in real time. If someone collapses and remains immobile for 5 seconds, the system alerts staff, prompting swift ambulance dispatch. Similarly, the AI can predict skeletal movements over a 10-second window, flagging erratic behavior that deviates from typical patterns. In one instance, such a flagged individual aligned with the police officer's suspicion, enabling early intervention to prevent a potential crime. That's good. You don't have to wait for people to start screaming, "Police, over here!" The AI camera sees that someone's pushing somebody else or lunging with a knife or about to lift something up and bring it down on a little puppy's head. Hey, that person's rolling up a dog in a blanket and is about to bash the crap out of it with a hammer. We don't have to wait for people to say that to a police officer. It's just the AI camera network will recognize that, dispatch a police officer right there, and maybe even sound an alarm in real time to prevent such horrendous crimes from happening. So, again, I'm all for it, actually. Why not? There's already enough cameras everywhere. There's already enough people filming everything. I walked into a public toilet near Sendagaya Station, and there was like a bunch of tourists in there from South Asia, I believe, posing and taking pictures in the public toilet. And you kind of go in there and like you just like some guy with a beard and like a Middle Eastern dress is like pointing a camera at you. You just walked in. He was taking a picture of someone behind me, but it's like, what are you doing? What's worse? An AI camera that you don't even realize? A hole in the wall? Analyzing for criminal behavior? Is that really so much worse than a bunch of tourists kind of shocking you by potentially taking your picture while you're just trying to go for a slash? What's worse? But for me, the main thing is that we know these systems are in place and there is a clear beginning and ending of when they are in place. You can imagine for a checkpoint, it would be useful. For your front door, maybe not. For inside of your house, hopefully not. But at a train station, sure, why not? Should the same network be used for the train station and the surrounding city? Maybe not. Maybe they should be separate entities that can be connected together through metadata and hashtag or security hashes if a crime is committed. And that could be sped up in near real time as well. But the idea would be to prevent a panopticon from just being developed and established and implemented because we don't want the Chinese model, but that doesn't mean we don't want any of it. So that would be one way to have a good system in place. And analyzing people's skeletal or skeletal movements prevents the idea that somebody can just look for your face. They're looking for the way that your bones are positioned in relation to other people with their bones positioned in that way. So there is a layer of retraction when it comes to how personal that data is. Everybody has their own gait, though. So you can't have gait recognition where your pose and somebody else's pose based on your biometric data could be separated and identified, but as long as those things are not being included in such applications at this level, maybe if a very serious crime is committed, some sort of constable at the police station would have access data to a higher level of AI pattern recognition, or even if you are a hardened criminal that's been released from prison, your hash code biometric data might be spread across all the cameras. And if you do something, well, then it's notified because you're a potential threat to the public. But what should that crime be? Murder, maybe. Maybe murder, but not shoplifting, something like that. Anyways, those are some ideas and some thought patterns about what the benefits and threats of integrated AI camera systems for public security have for not only you, not only me, not only in the future, but right now.
The fourth industrial revolution will enable us to create a new society. Artificial intelligence will transform the big data collected through the Internet of Things.
Kind of a creepy song. Everyone who hears that doesn't really like it. I kind of gotten used to it. It's been a part of my life now. But remember to go to MatthewPMBigelow.com for photos, show links, ideas, and more. I also do a music podcast, AI music podcast, so remember to check those out. It's a way to dominate the AI so we slow it down to a human level and enjoy it via human-to-human activity. And if you're interested, We accept donations via PayPal at paypal.me/JapanWUT. That's paypal.me/JapanWUT. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Until next time, I bid thee a very warmful and heartful ja mata.
Mata. You